Your recording has started. You may now proceed.
Thank you very much, Martha. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. This is the NCSG webinar on the CCWG Accountability Report on Wednesday, 16th December 2015. On the call today, we have Robin Gore, Ron Kerr, Amar El-Sada, Ed Morris, Rafik Damak, Merrily Wolf, Venatius Eziama, R.T. Bavana, Brett Sheffer, Clark Paul, Edward Morris, Mita Mela, G.Z. Tabir, and from staff, myself, Maren Bakoshi. I would like to remind all participants to please state your name before speaking for transcription purposes. Thank you very much. Over to you, Robin.
Thank you very much. This is Robin Gross, and I represent NCSG on the CCWG Accountability Group. So let me go over the agenda very quickly. We should talk about what's happened since our call last week, talk about the timeline going forward, go over the responses, particularly the ones that we haven't looked at last week, and then talk about our council meeting, the GNSO council meeting tomorrow, and the NCSG response on that. I thought that was on the agenda also, but I don't see it up there on the screen. Maybe it's on page. Oh, there we go. Okay. Great. So can we have individual slide control on this? There we go. Perfect. Thank you. Okay, so, and then, of course, any other business? Was there anything that anyone wanted to add to that agenda or any questions on that or suggestions for changes? Okay, I don't hear anything. Oh, I see Amr's got his hand up. Okay, Amr, please, go ahead.
Thanks, Robin. This is Amr. I was just going to ask if possible, because as you know, we have a GNSO Council meeting tomorrow, and this is going to be on the agenda item, and we're going to discuss the process for different groups of the GNSO and others submitting comments during the public comment period that is now open. So if you could spend a few minutes, perhaps you, Ed, Farzi, and anyone else who's active on that group could maybe give some of our counselors some guidance on how to handle this during tomorrow's meeting. That would be great. Thanks. I'm hearing
okay.
An echo. I hope no one else is.
Yeah, I hear that echo too. But yes, so I was sort of thinking that was item number four on the agenda, where we can really talk about the GNSO council meeting later this week and what our counselors need to be prepared to go into that meeting with. Does that work?
Yeah, that's perfect. I didn't see agenda item four. Apologies.
No worries at all. Okay, so let's get started. So since we had our call last week, we weren't really sure if the timeline was going to be changed or what kind of response to expect from the co-chairs, and I'm not surprised that they did not choose to respond to extend the timeline. And so as of today, our public comment period is still supposed to close on December 21st. So that didn't change. But since last week, just a couple of days ago, the ICANN board issued their comments on our draft, and pretty harsh. They want to eviscerate many of the accountability reforms that the group had been working on for the last several months, in particular the transparency rights, the human rights obligations, although there really weren't obligations, just respect for human rights in the bylaws, the limitation on ICANN's mission, that was something that they also had a hard time accepting. So, you know, the board's kind of
playing chicken, like they did in L.A., where they submitted comments where they say, basically, if you don't change these things, we're gonna vote against it based upon our view of the global public interest. And so that's kind of where we are now again. So there's a lot of pressure on the members of the CCWG to give in to the board and say, okay, we want this done yesterday. We don't want to delay the transition, and we know that we'll have to go into this long negotiation cycle if the board wants to exercise its veto rights on anything. And so people are in pretty much such a hurry to get this done. I think the board knows that the community will probably cave, because that's what happened last time. So I hope not. I'm certainly not planning to cave on a lot of these important issues, but we really need to see where the rest of the community is on responding to the board's comments as well. So that's kind of what's happened in the last week. Any questions or comments on that? Or should we just go on to the timeline forward? Anybody want to talk about any of that? The board's response? Because we can get into that also when we talk about our specific responses to the specific recommendations.
Hi, Robin? I think that what the board's comments call for is an equal pushback from us. 7 votes in council, we can stop the process going forward with the support of all the chartering organizations. I think we're at the point of needing to give the chairs some ammunition to come back to the board with, that if we do what the board wants, it's not going to come under the GNSL. At least that's something we can think about posturing and putting ourselves in position to enunciate that sort of idea going forward.
Yeah, I'm in that mindset too, that, you know, I think if the board is going to try to veto this proposal, then it should have to use the full process to do that and have a vote on some of these issues that they're not in the public interest, for example, transparency and human rights. Let them have that interest and have 2/3 of them vote that these things are not in the public interest. And, you know, I think that they're just sort of threatening now, hoping we'll back down so they don't actually have to have that vote. And I don't think we should, give in to that. So I think we do have some leverage here, as you say, and I think that we should really work with some of the other supporting organizations, and especially the other SGs in the GNSO, to figure out where our colleagues are and see where we can build some alliances on this stuff. Okay, so basically we said we've got, for our timeline going forward, we still have public comments open until December 21st, and there was some talk that so there's a GNSO council meeting this Friday, but I don't think the GNSO is actually going to have any kind of votes or really be expected to say exactly where it's going to come down. They want to hear what our issues are, what our red lines are, but I don't think that really there's going to come out of the meeting this week of the GNSO with a lot of clarification. So I suspect there's going to be another GNSO council meeting probably in early January to discuss the report in detail. And frankly, I think there may be another draft. The proposal could very well change because of the board comment, because of some of the other comments coming in. I think there's a very good chance that we will need a fourth supplemental draft, and that should go out for public comment. But again, these decisions haven't been made yet. I see Ed's got his hand up and Milton's got his hand up. So, Ed, why don't you go first?
Old hand, Robin, sorry.
Sorry, okay. Milton, you're up.
Well, I just wanted to note that I'm particularly concerned about the mission statement limitations. I think in my blog post I've made it clear, and I'm just following in some sense the analysis that David Post did. I think one of the arguments we have to make is that the mission limitations that are so important to us, because they would provide a basis for, you know, preventing mission creep. And it's pretty clear that there are some interest groups, particularly the GAC and the copyright people, who want an expanded mission and want to add all kinds of things into registry contracts. I think we can argue, however, that the CCWG third draft report did go through a painstaking process of getting acceptable language, and we just have to say to the board, don't mess with that. Just leave it alone. You're not going to make things any better by coming out of in from outer space and rewriting everything. I think whoever is on the GNSO should be making this argument very strongly that we had a lot of sensitive issues regarding contracting rights. We have the GAC in there, you know, putting pressure about public interest commitments. We have ALEC siding with the GAC. And we managed to arrive at language that people could live with. ICANN will be arguing that that language is ambiguous and that the ambiguity is dangerous. I think we can say it's not that ambiguous. It's pretty clear that people don't want ICANN to be a regulator and particularly don't want them to regulate content. And at the same time, they do want it to be able to enforce contracts that are within its mission. And the language we came up with seemed to make people on both sides of those concerns satisfied, and we should not mess with it. So that's the main point. I guess these kinds of arguments have to be made in front of the GNSO, and you need to sound out how much support you have from the registries and registrars in particular, the contracted parties. Those are the ones who would be concerned about ambiguity in the contracts and might be willing to throw some of the mission limitations under the bus if they can just get this over with. So I really hope you can make a strong pitch to the contracting parties in particular that we cannot accept the proposed changes that ICANN's board made in the mission statement.
Yeah, thanks, Milton. I'm glad you brought that up because, you know, they've sort of asked for what are our red lines on the proposal as it stands, but I think that that would be a red line for us if the proposal actually got changed to what the board is asking for. So, you know, I didn't list it as one of the recommendations that we have a problem with, because as you say, we worked out those concerns and we reached a compromise within the group, and it is that compromise that the board is trying to undo. And if they do undo it, then we've got another recommendation to add to the list of where we would have a big problem with, I would say. One thing that's interesting, though, is how these recommendations are actually going to be voted on. It's my understanding that the recommendations initially will sort of stand or fall on their own, and people will say, well, we're okay with this recommendation, but this one there isn't support for, and so that the ones there aren't adequate support for would still need to go back and need to be worked on further. So it's my understanding, because of the way the CCWG charter is drafted, that the recommendations will not necessarily be coming to a singular vote of all of them up or down, but there will be, at least initially, perhaps ultimately, an opportunity to say, yes, these go forward and these need more work. But I would be really curious to hear what Ed and Amr, as our counselors on this call, what their thoughts are about how the council is going to handle these recommendations, if they think that this is going to be put to them as a singular vote, or are they expecting, like I'm expecting, this to be a debate on each recommendation on its own merits. Do you guys have any thoughts on how you expect that discussion to go down in the council meeting?
Yes, Zahmer. Yeah. Oh, is Zahmer there? I'm sorry.
Yeah. I had my hand up, but Ed, please, you go ahead.
Go ahead. I'd rather hear your perspective first, actually.
All right. Well, my perspective is a largely uninformed one, only because this is a unique sort of working group, and not typically what the GNSO Council handles. Typically, the GNSO Council will look at process, right? Because they don't really look at individual recommendations coming out of GNSO working groups. So they'll look at the process to make sure it was followed properly. They look at the consensus levels of the working group participants, and based on that, councillors will usually make a decision. However, this draft report and recommendations are a bit of a, well, they're a bit different, I think, than what the GNSO is normally used to. I wouldn't be surprised if some councillors do bring up individual recommendations and want to discuss them. Particularly, we have quite a number of councillors who are active on the CCWG, including Ed, Phil Corwin, and others. However, as always, councillors' votes, apart from the NCSG, are largely directed. My instinct would be that if you want to get a feel for how each constituency or stakeholder group is going to vote, a better place to get that feel would be on the CCWG and discussing this with the members who are appointed by the different constituencies and stakeholder groups to that group. That's my instinct. Thank you.
Thanks very much, Amr. Ed, did you have any thoughts about how the council is going to handle that?
Yeah, I think what we have to realize, as Amr said, this is a fairly unique situation for us to deal with, and we're also, our leadership on council, they're just getting their feet wet. I don't think a decision has been made. I think we're going to talk about that tomorrow. The structure of tomorrow's meeting is supposed to be talking about timeline, structure, setting up a meeting in January where we talk about substance. Having said that, I do know there are some folks in the CSG who intend to talk substance tomorrow. I don't know how it's going to play out. I have emails to James and Heather, have not received a response. But when I read the charter, I did not realize we were going to be approving or disapproving these things point by point, Robin, until you brought it up on list. And as I read the charter, I agree with you. I'm not sure there's going to be a vote if we strictly follow the charter, an up and down vote in the entire package, which I would actually prefer to have at some point.
Okay, thanks very much. Did anyone else have any thoughts on that, or should we just go through the recommendations or the responses to the recommendations? Okay, I do not see any other hands here, so let's go through our recommendations. And do folks have a link? Shall I post the link in case you don't have it handy to the document where all of these responses? There we go. I just posted it. Oh, it's also up there. Okay. So let's look at the first one: establishing an empowered community for enforcing community powers. Okay, and Milton was kind enough to come up with the draft for that response. Milton, you want to? Can you, since you weren't on the call last week, could you just give us a very quick overview of what the position is here that we're taking?
Yes, following instructions from Chairman Gross, I have come out against Recommendation one. It's a weird choice. I mean, we're saying we don't want an establishment of an empowered community. Well, no, we're not really saying we don't like the way the CCWG constituted the empowered community. So I tried to make my response very simple and very clear. It says, you know, we oppose Recommendation 1. We favor the establishment of an empowered community, but we don't like the way you constitute it. We don't like the way the GAC has been included in it, and we think that ALAC is outweighed in it. So that's basically the line I'm taking. I'm happy to hear whether people agree with that or disagree with it.
Thanks, Milton. That is the response that, or the approach that we took in our previous public comments and our previous positions, so I don't think it'll come as much of a surprise to anyone that that's what this one says. But does anyone have any comments or questions on this?
Well, I just wondered whether we can look, whether any other stakeholder groups will also oppose this recommendation.
Yeah, that's a good question. I've heard, and like, you know, it's just all rumors that the registries and the registrars are very unhappy with the changing role of the ACs and the empowerment of GAC. Whether or not they're actually going to say, therefore, we vote no on recommendation one, I don't know. I'm going to try to spend some time today reaching out to a lot of folks and getting a better sense for where some of the other members of the CCWG are. But, you know, it's just helpful to get our own ducks in a row before I contact them today. So, you know, I don't really know. I know there's a lot of grumbling. Whether or not that grumbling is actually going to translate into a no vote on recommendation one, I'm not sure. I hope to know more tomorrow or the next day. Anyone else have any thoughts on this one? See any hands, so I guess we're good for this one going forward. Okay, let's look at number two, empowering the community through consensus, engage, escalate, and enforce. Okay, so this, Matt was good enough to draft this one last week and go through it for us last week, and there wasn't any objections or concern about it, so I don't think we necessarily, and Matt's not on the call, so we can't ask him to go over it now, but did anyone have any comments, questions, or concerns about recommendation number two, or is that one we can skip for today?
This is Milton. Okay. I just wanted to say the comments look very fragmentary to me. Are they intended to be not finished, or would you actually consider turning that in as it stands?
Yeah, these are not finished. We're just trying to sort of agree on the position, if you will, and then the responses do, you know, we'll need a final sort of editing to make sure everything hangs together and isn't so fragmentary. But you know, the hard work, I think, is we're trying to actually agree on the positions, and so that's really where we are now. Brett, you have your hand up. Please, go ahead.
Yes, 2 points. One is I strongly agree with the statement here that says that the time frames for individual steps are extremely short, especially since a lot of the people are doing this in their spare time over the weekends or what have you, and if it happens in the wrong time of the year, we may be faced with a situation where people actually are on vacation or unavailable otherwise to sort of rally themselves to respond to these things. Second, the engage step in the engage, escalate, and enforce procedures is extremely vague. It says that that the board should engage in the way that it has previously, but it doesn't anywhere in the document, either in the third draft or in the annexes to that draft, lay out explicitly what that what those steps of engagement are and what obligations the board has to engage with the community at various steps in the procedure. And I think that needs to be spelled out. Thanks.
Thank you, Matt. Can I, I'm sorry, Brett, can I can I volunteer you to get that text into this recommendation? I mean, the way you've phrased it there sounds just perfect, so if we could add that in, I think, and I agree with you, I think just about everyone on this call would agree with you, so do you think you'd be able to add some of that into the this response?
Well, if nobody has any objection, we can just lift it from our public comment that we made and submitted this morning, which is there and makes both of those 2 points.
Great. Thank you very much. Okay, so if there are any objections, please speak up. I should add also that these drafts that are in the Google Drive here are editable. So, you know, please, if anyone has ideas to add or can suggest some language for improving, please do. Just you can go right ahead and add it right into the document. And we need editors, we need drafters. Thank you. Okay, so I think that's it for number two, unless anyone else had anything they wanted to add on recommendation two. All right, let's go to number three, redefining ICANN's bylaws as standard bylaws and fundamental bylaws. Okay, Tatiana drafted this and went through it for us last week, and again, I don't think there was any controversy or opposition to this, so I don't know that we necessarily need to go over it, this recommendation again today, unless there was somebody had any specific comments or questions on this one. And unfortunately, Tatiana couldn't be on the call today either.
I just see a blank page. Is there anything there?
Well, she had it. What happened to it? Maybe it didn't make it into the draft. Or, excuse me, it didn't make it into this page. What happened to it? Okay, well, let me get in touch with her and see what happened to that text there. Okay. In the meantime, let's move on to the next one, ensuring community involvement. This is recommendation four, ensuring community involvement in ICANN decision-making, 7 new community powers. Okay. James was kind enough to the initial draft on this response to recommendation four. So we basically support the recommendation. I thought there was a couple points. Let me see. Okay, so this is generally is a support of the recommendation and shoring up the need to be able to remove individual directors from the SO and AC that appointed them. Okay. Did anyone have any comments or questions on this response? Brett. Okay, your hand is up. Please, go ahead.
Sorry, it's an old hand, but I do have a comment on this. One is the if you take a look at the draft, they list the request or the challenge for a DIDP decision will be listed among the IRP process. And the way they've listed it out here, the IRP process appears to be a power of the empowered community. And I think that we need to clarify that DIDP appeals, whether through the IRP or whether it's through some other process, should be available to individuals, civil society, businesses, individual SOs or ACs, and should not be restricted to a request by the empowered community, especially one as outlined in the board's comments where it would require the support of 3 SOs and ACs in order to exercise it. And I think that that is an important point to make here.
Oh, thanks. Yeah, I missed that. I didn't realize that there was the attempt to limit the DIDP availability to only, you know, parts of the empowered community. I thought anyone would still have access to that. I didn't realize that.
That question was raised in the questions and answered in part by the Sidley and lawyers in the response, I guess, that Matthew sent around late last week, earlier this week. And they said that it wouldn't be. But my read on the document is that that is far from clear and conclusive in terms of the interpretation of that. And I think it needs to be clarified and made clear that anybody can avail themselves of this process. Especially shouldn't require meeting some sort of threshold of support from the SOs and ACs in the empowered community.
Right. Okay, that's a great point. I also think it's worth mentioning that the DIDP is something that we're specifically supposed to look at in Workstream 2, but it certainly, you know, would be very helpful to clarify in this response that we expect that availability to be open to anyone.
Yes, the document and the annex both say that DIDP review would be part of Workstream 2, but I'll take this moment to highlight something that I was going to suggest for the last appendix where they're talking about this. But there is no reference whatsoever to requiring ICANN to publicly release its meetings and other efforts to try and sway government opinion on policies, which was, if you remember, the Rick Lane and other folks were raising as a problem with ICANN lobbying of Congress and other governments that was less than completely transparent. So that seems to have fallen off completely in this draft.
Yeah.
That could be returned as well.
Good point. Okay, I'm just taking notes here. Okay, so was there anything else on recommendation 4? Looks like we're going to support it generally. Okay, I don't see any other hands. Recommendation 5, changing aspects of ICANN's mission. Okay, this is the one that we're supportive of as it currently stands, but where the board has said it wants significant changes, in particular the removal of the prohibition to limit ICANN's mission. So I think we're going to want to add some comments in here. David went over this last week for us in detail, but I think since the board has submitted its comment on this issue in particular, I think we want to highlight our position on this vis-a-vis the board, which is the importance of the limitation, the mission limitations, and that for us, that would be a very significant change that we wouldn't be able to support this recommendation if that change, as requested by the board, was made. Does anyone else have any comments on this one? I know we talked about this one at some length last week, and unfortunately, I don't think David is on this call. But did anyone else have any other thoughts on this recommendation or this direct response? Okay, I do not see any hands. Okay, the next one is on human rights, recommendation number 6, reaffirming ICANN's commitment to respect internationally recognized human rights as it carries out its mission. Okay, and Niels was kind enough to draft this and go over this with us last week. And I think most folks were fairly comfortable with where this recommendation stood, or I should say this response stood. Are there any other thoughts or any other comments on this recommendation and this response? Perhaps in light of the board's comment. Okay, I don't see anything further. Oh, I do see hand. Okay. Brad, is your hand an old hand, or is that a new hand?
Well,
that's an old hand.
That's an aging hand. Yeah, it's just like withering in front of our face. It's so old. I just wanted to point out that I went into Neil's statement and did some editing. And also, there are just some little typos and obvious mistakes. But also, he has a paragraph. He wrote this as if he was writing a standalone comment. So he has an introductory paragraph that says how much we appreciate the opportunity to submit comments. And I suggested that that should go somewhere else at the beginning of all of our comments and not just here.
Yeah.
So just a note about that.
Yeah, that's a good idea. And actually, when we go to submit these, I think we should submit them basically two different ways. There's the we should submit it all as one document with each recommendation and then each comment. And you're right, I think that kind of that language there belongs at the very beginning of that comprehensive comment. And then the there's the SurveyMonkey online tool, where each question you just sort of answer in a little box what your response is on that particular recommendation. And so that's where we would take these individual, you know, one-pagers, and that's a piece of the overall, the comprehensive report response, and, you know, just cut and paste that particular response into that page of the SurveyMonkey, so they're done individually that way. So that way, I think, you know, we can have a comment that stands together, that's a single document. You can see where we are on all the issues, and then also they'll get entered into the SurveyMonkey online tool, you know, with just in bits and pieces that are relevant to that particular recommendation. Does that make sense? Okay, so were there any other thoughts on recommendation 6, reaffirming human rights? We did spend some time on that one last week, too. Okay. Let's go on to recommendation number 7, strengthening ICANN's independent review process. And Ed was kind enough to draft this initial response. And, again, we talked about this last week. I don't know, Ed, was there anything you wanted to add, or did you want to go over this again for the folks on the call this week, this response?
Unless there's a need to, I don't think we need to go over it again, although Brett did have some comments and maybe want to discuss those.
I'm sorry, I was working on something else. What? I just heard my name. What was this?
You're being...
Recommendation. Go ahead, Brett.
No, okay. There were comments, you said.
In specific reference to what? I'm sorry.
Okay, resolution of claims that I can.
It's what Brett talked about earlier. I guess we should probably sort out where exactly we should place it.
The DIDP issue, yeah, okay, because there was some thought that it would go into this recommendation on strengthening the independent review process. Well, you know, I think it wouldn't hurt to add it in both places, to just say we expect the DIDP to be part of the independent review process, and then, you know, then we've covered it here. And then when we talk about the Workstream 2 and the DIDP review in more detail, we can also mention it there.
Okay. I'm happy to edit it. That's not a problem.
I apologize. Yes, I actually put it in both recommendations and leave it up to you to figure out where it fits best, or if it fits best in both places, it doesn't matter to me.
Okay. I see no reason not to mention it twice. okay. Any other thoughts on this recommendation? We did spend some time on it last week. Okay, and then we can go on to recommendation number 8, fortifying ICANN's request for reconsideration process. Again, this one needs to be, and this is my fault, needs to be moved from bullet point to text to the actual response. But it isn't very controversial at all. I mean, we basically support the recommendation and support the reforms, and there's a couple of them in the report that we want to highlight because, you know, we want to make sure that they actually stay in there. Things like the transparency and the need for neutrality, instead of ICANN's legal department to be the ones to provide guidance to the board on responding to these issues. So there, again, this one is not very controversial. We're basically supporting what's in the recommendation. Did anyone have any thoughts or any comments on this one, the reconsideration request process? Okay, I do not see any hands. This one is pretty straightforward. I think we can go on to number 9, incorporation of the affirmation of commitments. Okay. There we go. And we had a draft of this, Avery, last week, and then we've gotten some comments here since then suggesting that we shouldn't take the strong position of supporting this recommendation so much, considering things like, you know, the mandates, who the existing who is can't be changed, and of course that's not something that we want. So I think this one definitely needs more work and more discussion. I know, Milton, you had some comments on this. Did you want to weigh in on this, on a, what you think a position we should take on this recommendation?
Yeah, I've never understood why so many people in the reform process has been so positive about the AOC and trying to get it into the bylaws. At this point, it's probably a lost cause, but basically the affirmation of commitments was like something negotiated between the U.S. government and ICANN without any participation of the policy process, and it was kind of the first step in the NTIA loosening up control of ICANN and saying, okay, here's some things that we expect from you. And, of course, the sort of copyright and trademark interests and the law enforcement interests, the people that we are almost always on the opposite side of on policy issues, succeeded in getting into the AOC, their little favorite laundry list of things that they wanted to become institutionalized, permanent parts of ICANN policy. And among those was, you know, a commitment not to ever change WHOIS, which is clearly in complete contradiction to the idea that, you know, ICANN is a bottom-up policy-making organization. So here's the U.S. government sort of making permanent its influence over ICANN through this affirmation of commitments. Now, the AOC did some good things, which was to institute these accountability reviews. But once you've institutionalized accountability through these more sweeping reforms that we're doing now, I don't understand why you need the AOC at all going forward, particularly when it contains this bad stuff. So, again, this is not a point of view that got into the process early enough to make a big difference, but there's no reason for us to endorse this stuff now, I think.
Thanks, Milton. I think you're right. And so I'm wondering if I could ask you to do a little bit of work on this text, on this recommendation 9, and see if you could find a way to say something along those lines.
maybe try to find some kind of a, I don't know if middle ground is the right word, but try to listen to the concerns that the drafter of this response was saying, trying to incorporate that somehow while also incorporating your concerns. You know what I mean? So we can have both views. Do you think you could add some text into this recommendation to along the lines that you're just talking about?
Yeah, definitely. I could do that.
Great. I think that would be really helpful. Did anyone else have any thoughts on this recommendation or any suggestions for a response or a way forward on this one? Because we seem to be a little bit divided on this one. I'd like to try to find a way to accommodate as many views as possible.
Well, who is a big supporter of the AOC?
Avery.
Oh.
This was her, yeah.
What a surprise.
Yeah. Okay. I do not see any other hands on this one. Okay, so I think we're going to need, this one needs more work, and I would like to hear others weigh in on this, if at all possible. Okay. Well, I don't see any more hands, so let's go on to the next recommendation, recommendation number 10, enhancing the accountability of supporting organizations and advisory committees. Okay, Farzi was good enough to do this draft and spent some time last week going over it with us, and we all seem to be in wild agreement with Farzi's analysis here. Farzi, was there anything else you wanted to add on this, or anything you wanted to raise on this one? Or oh, I see in the chat you can't talk, but we should reject it. Yep. Okay, I think you're right. I think you're on the right path here. Anyone else have any comments on this particular recommendation? On enhancing the accountability of supporting organizations and advisory committees, which to me really just seemed to be somewhat of the board and staff clawing back here and trying to get a little bit more control over how the supporting organizations are managed, how they are run. Since they're going to be losing, supposedly these organizations are going to be holding ICANN's board accountable. Okay. I'm not hearing any more responses or seeing any hands on this recommendation. Number 10, let's look at number 11. Board obligations with regards to the government advisory committee advice, the infamous stress test 18. And Brett was kind enough to do this initial draft, and we spent some time on it last week, but being one of the most contentious issues throughout the entire process, we still have, it looks like some more comments have been made on this draft, and we should have some more discussion on this. Brett, did you want to give us another quick overview of the view you would have us take on this recommendation?
I'm not sure anybody really wants that at this point, but I'm happy to do it if they do. Essentially, the struck-through text here is just eliminating some of the editorial comments on how the discussions proceeded and focusing more specifically on the concerns and then the recommendation for what the group would like to see. I don't know if anybody had any questions on the previous draft, which I'm happy to address. I know David did in terms of the possibility that GAC advice that was outside or contrary to the scope and mission of ICANN could get slipped through the cracks here through this process. And in response to that, I added the final sentence to the amended bylaw language that we're proposing here, which is such decisions shall be subject to IRP challenge if they are outside the scope of mission of ICANN. And that is really the main change. In our own comments, Paul and I took issue with the two-thirds requirement for board rejection of GAC consensus advice. In our comments that we were posted this morning, we noted that Foddy testified to Congress and assured the U.S. Senate that that option was off the table back in last February. And here it is today, and we are concerned that the presence of the two-thirds requirement could raise justified objection in Congress because of the failure of ICANN to honor its CEO's testimony before Congress on the matter. And we urge them to reverse that back to a majority, but I'm not sure if the NCSG would support that or not, so we made our separate comment. Also, so if anybody has any questions or any specific issues they want to raise, I'm happy to entertain them or happy to discuss why we did or why I made certain comments in this section.
Thanks very much, Brett. Well, I'm in agreement that the two-thirds vote, it goes too far in empowering the GAC. So I think we don't want to support that recommendation, and you know, suggesting that it revert to a majority, I think is absolutely a position that we would want to take. I mean, if anyone disagrees with me, please tell me I'm wrong. I see Milton has his hand up. Milton?
Well, of course, I think we all agree that the two-thirds shouldn't be in there. I think what we're concerned with the recommendation is whether this is acceptable. In other words, if we reject the two-thirds, will the GAC reject the whole plan, and will the ALAC join them, and therefore will we get nothing? That's the concern. There was a general feeling that the two-thirds, again, not to support it or defend it, but it was just like, how much difference does it really make when most of the time the board acts unanimously on issues of major things. Now, of course, it is conceivable that there would be some kind of an issue that would divide the board, like the XXX issue did, in which you had like a 7-4 vote or something, and this this difference of two-thirds might actually make a difference. But it's most likely that in cases in which the board decides to reject GAC advice after long negotiations, that the board would have to be pretty unified. Anyway, so I guess the question is, what is our attitude towards these recommendation evaluations? Are we just saying, no, here's what we like, or are we trying to say, here's what we would consider to be something we could live with as a final solution? It may be perfectly fine this time to just be hardcore and say exactly what we want and not worry about what anybody else wants.
Well, I don't know. I mean, for me, this does seem like one of those hardcore issues of, you know, the slippery slope of always constantly empowering GAC a little bit more, a little bit more. And this is, I think, a significant step. And they're a part of the community mechanism in Recommendation 1 as well. When you say there are things to compromise on, I just don't see this as being one of them. And if the cost of the transition and the accountability reforms are we hand it all over to the GAC, well, then, I don't see why I would be in favor of that. I think, you know, it's maybe the status quo is better than an ICANN in which what the GAC says goes, unless the board can muster a spine of 2/3 vote, which, you know, good luck with that. So I don't know. For me, this is a really important issue. But Ed's got his hand up. And then Stephanie. Okay, please, Ed, go ahead.
Thanks, Robin. Yeah, I'm with you and Brett on this one. And I think a point Brett did make is quite important. When this gets to Capitol Hill, going from majority to 2/3 against what Fadi promised them is going to be an issue. It's something that is easily conceptualized by your typical representative. It's something that can be a bumper sticker slogan. Look what they're doing. They're empowering the government. And who is the most active member of GAC in the group? The representative of the Islamic Republic of Iran. So I think from a practical perspective of getting the transition passed through Congress, we want to oppose this. Now, whether the GAC will allow us to get to that point, I don't know. But I'm concerned that if we go for the 2/3, we could kill ourselves down the road.
Thanks, Ed. Stephanie, please, go ahead.
Thanks. I thought that there was sufficient feeling that this final report and the board's comments on the report, which one thinks might be absorbed, oh, for God's sake, sorry, that they were sufficiently poisonous, you might want to insert a poison pill. If so, surely I would agree. A 2/3 vote is enough to put off Congress, not to mention American business. And that would kill this version of the report. Am I being too conspiratorial here? Thanks.
I don't know. I mean, being a member of this group, I feel like a lot of people are putting their ideas in because that's really what they think it ought to be and not necessarily because they're trying to, to kill the report by putting in a poison pill of government. I think that it was largely governments and ALAC who, you know, were fighting really hard for governments to be empowered. And I don't think it was because they wanted to kill the transition. I think it's because they want to be empowered. And they see this as a way to do that. I could be wrong. Ed, your hand is up. Is that an old hand, or are you next in the queue?
Sorry, old hand.
Okay, no worries. Brett.
Okay, one issue I wanted to raise, we made this an issue again in our comments, and Milton has made this this point before, and that is the distinction between what is and is not GAC advice. In our comment, we made very clear that for board purposes, it should be clear that advice is only consensus advice, and as defined as in the text that is proposed in the third draft, meaning without overt objection or vocal objection or a stated objection of any GAC member. We change actually the first word in there to views. The views of the Government Advisory Committee on public policy matters should be taken duly into account. To differentiate it from consensus advice away from non-consensus advice or communiques or other statements and decisions of the GAC that do not enjoy consensus support. So that is something that is, I think, needs to be clarified. There's also a further point, which is that non-consensus advice should not in any way trigger any kind of response whatsoever by the board, and that it can be taken into account, it can be acknowledged, received, but it doesn't need to trigger a vote, doesn't need to consider trigger or require consideration of any in terms of weight in terms of their policy decisions. Only consensus advice should be triggering that sort of action or obligation on the part of the board.
Yeah, I think that's right, and I think we also need to require that consensus advice to be presented with a rationale. I think that's something that we need to add in there as well. That it needs to be it needs to be truly consensus, and it needs to be provided with a rationale, so we know just what the reasons were, and we don't have any more of this, you know, creative ambiguity like they used with the Dot Africa decision. That would be my thoughts on that. Anyone else want to get in the queue on this one?
It's Milton again. I just wanted to say, you know, I read Brett's comments, the written comments, and the rewording of the stress test 18 language is very good. I think it gets it right. We do want to make sure that there's a clear line between advice and that it triggers bylaws, and that advice has to have full consensus, and we have to make it clear that non-consensus advice does not have trigger anything, and that we want to make it clear that the GAC cannot, the board should, you know, the GAC is subject to the same, or following GAC advice is subject to the same mission constraints as everything else. Even though that's clearly implicit in the existing language, I think it doesn't hurt to put that into the GAC language, and the fact that GAC doesn't want it in there, and the dialogue we've been having over PICs makes it clear that they do need to be reminded of this. I guess the only question I have is, again, what chance does this have of getting into the final language? But I'm totally behind the comments as they're currently written.
Yeah, I don't know in terms of where the other stakeholders are going to come down, particularly in the GNSO or the CCNSO, on this. They weren't very strong-willed during the course of the working group. However, I think many of them have now had to go face their members, who are saying, "You did what? You're giving GAC what?" So it's the morning after second thoughts. So I think there is some concern about this, and there is some chance of eliminating perhaps one, at least maybe one of the two new powers for GAC, one being the community mechanism, the other being the stress test 18. I think, you know, both as they currently stand, people are realizing is too much. Where that exact fix can be made, I'm not sure yet, and we don't. I realize we don't have a lot of time to figure it out. So, to my other colleagues, particularly ones on council, if you could also talk some of this through with your fellow counselors and try to get a sense for where they are. I'm going to reach out to a lot of people today and tomorrow as well. But at this point, I'm just not really sure.
Robin, would you like me to paste in the text that we used in our submission this morning into this document?
That would be great. Thank you very much. Yes.
Okay. Some of it did not... Let me address this just a little bit.
Okay. Was there anything else on this one? I don't see any more hands. Okay, and so the last recommendation, committing to further accountability work in work stream 2. Okay, Aaron, was volunteered for this. I don't have any specific text yet, but I'm still working to get that. We've got some bullet points in here on what we need to add. I think generally we support this recommendation, work stream two. We want to see that there's more transparency issues should be addressed, including transparency over board deliberations, because we are depending so heavily now on only board removal. We need to know what the board's up to, and so we need more transparency over their process. The need to maintain independent legal counsel in work stream two. As Brett mentioned earlier, the DIDP availability, and also the transparency issues with respect to government. So I think we need to have transparency much, much more broadly. The way it's currently drafted, Workstream 2 issues, they say, well, we're going to work on transparency, in particular the DIDP and the whistleblower policy. But I think that's just the beginning, that we need to go back to our earlier language of a culture of transparency and look at all the things that ICANN is doing and the ways in which we need to improve with transparency. It's such a key fundamental block to accountability that I frankly don't know how it didn't get in Workstream 1. It's kind of it's a terrible failure of our group that we are not working on transparency right now, I think. So let's really try to focus that on making sure that gets in Workstream 2. I think it's worth pointing out the board's comments were very much against the work stream too, and want all future improvements to go through their review cycles, which there were their review processes, which are very top down. Again, these are controlled by the board and staff, so no wonder that's where they want accountability reforms to go, not into work stream too. So I think it's really important that we, particularly in light of the board's comments against work stream too, and I think it's worth noting also that this was one of the areas where they put a red line in, where they said, we're going to say this is against the public interest if you don't do it the way we want, which is, you know, really, Workstream 2 is a red line issue for them, but right up there with human rights and transparency, I guess. So I think, you know, we really need to support the items that are currently in Workstream 2 and make sure that we get more transparency in there. Does anyone else have any other thoughts on this one, or anyone want to volunteer to hold the drafting pen on this particular recommendation response? Anyone have any thoughts on what we need to add to this, or comments based upon the board's written response? Okay, I'm not hearing any noises. Oh, Ed's got his hand up. Okay, please, Ed, go ahead.
Thanks, Robin. I think we need to be very clear about the retention of the independent counsel. Talking casually to Thomas last week, or conversing by chat, ICANN is using the fact that it's been a very expensive process that we all know, but ICANN is going to attempt to regulate our use of independent counsel in Workstream 2 by basically trying to control the budget. So I think somehow we have to put in there, paid for by ICANN, but the retention is determined by the CCWG. I think we need to be a little bit more specific in what we approve, or if we wind up in a situation where we can retain independent counsel, but ICANN puts a monetary limit, meaning that we can't really use them. I'm a little bit concerned about that.
Yep, I think that's a fair point. I mean, we've seen how ICANN uses the resources that it controls as a way of managing the process. For example, they don't want to now provide travel funding to Marrakesh for the members, even though we're supposed to be working on what gets into Workstream 2 and a lot of the implementation issues on the IRP. And, you know, there's tons of things to be done. But by refusing to provide travel support, they can prevent us from getting that work done. And as you say, by not funding our independent lawyers, we're not able to get that legal work that we need to have done. And, you know, we'll probably just be dependent upon Jones Day or ICANN's legal department, which will not give us objective and neutral advice. So I think that's right. Anyone else have anything to add on that issue or Workstream 2 generally?
Are we going to be responding to the board comments at all in – I'm sorry, this is Brett Schaefer. Are we going to be responding to the board's comments to the third draft at all on this, or are we just going to restrict our comments just to the third draft? Because,
no, I think
because obviously the board's efforts to weaken its obligations to follow through on Workstream 2 and also to narrow the scope of what is in Workstream 2 would be objectionable and should be mentioned here if we're going to be doing that.
Yes, no, I think that's right. I think that's absolutely right because, you know, some of the places where now we know there's weakness, like Workstream 2, the mission, the human rights issues, the transparency issues, we know that those are on thin ground now because of the board's comments. They say, oh, we're not going to treat those special. They get treated like every other comment, but yeah, sure, like the last time, right? So I think, yes, what we need to fortify those things that we'd like in the report that the board is trying to weaken, and I think we need to do that in our comments. Okay. Any other thoughts on this, on the responses at all? I'd like to, for folks to have any other edits or thoughts put into it, say this needs to be filed by the 21st. So can we say by Friday? Is that too ambitious to try to have this done by Friday? Any final thoughts? I see Ed's got his hand up. Amr's got his hand up. Okay, Ed, please.
That's right. Could we have the weekend and make it Sunday? Because I know a lot of us are working during the week, and it would be nice to have the weekend to work on it.
Okay. Yep, works for me. Amr?
Thanks, Robin. This is Amr. Just wanted to remind folks to also consider the time that is needed for the policy committee to go over all of this and endorse it. I'll try to get the policy committee started on this now, but just wanted to remind folks of that. I also had a question. I think I misplaced the recommendation that discusses the I'm sorry, Sam. My audio doesn't seem to be coming in too well. I was just saying I seem to have misplaced the recommendation that addresses the strategic plan and budget and how the committee would go about vetoing this. We haven't discussed this much over the course of the work of the CCWG. I know that I've pretty much I've voiced my opinion and raised concerns about this, but I was just wondering what folks think about this, and I was wondering which recommendation it's actually in, if someone could remind me.
Yes.
And I was also wondering why we are not objecting to this or what people's views on this are. I barely heard views from anyone on this, actually. Thank you.
Okay, thanks. Thanks, Amr, for reminding us of the budget, the approval of the budget issue. So that's going to fit under recommendation number 4, ensuring community involvement in ICANN decision-making, the 7 new community powers. This is one of the new community powers is the budget approval or rejection rights that the community has. And this draft response that we have right here, right now, didn't go into that particular issue. And I think it's, you know, just because it wasn't in the mind of the person who was doing that drafting. But I think that is the point that we want to bring in here, that there is some concern about how that budget power could play out. Amr, can I ask you to, since you raised the issue, to add that point into this response on recommendation number four?
Sure. This is Amr again. I'll try to come up with some language at least to express the concerns that I have, and just to voice them quickly now. On one hand, I think that a power of vetoing or controlling ICANN's strategic plan and budget could very easily be misused to drive policy issues, and I think that could become extremely problematic. From a more generic perspective, I'm not exactly sure what approving the budget and strategic plan actually has to do with accountability. My take on this would be that folks should be able to hold ICANN accountable based on what they proposed and then whether they've met their goals in the goals in their strategic plan or not, and whether they've screwed up their budget or not. But this should be something that they are held accountable to after the fact. I don't feel that it's something that the community needs to or should have the power to veto before it ever gets off the ground. It just seems more like an ability for certain actors who seek to control ICANN rather than hold it accountable. But those are just my random thoughts. Thank you.
Thanks, Amr. I think that the budget power is pretty solidly embedded into the recommendations. And so while I very much share those concerns, the extent to which we can, you know, actually get the budget approval rights kicked out at this point, I don't think is very realistic. So I think what we need to do is we need to raise these concerns, and maybe if we can propose a way to address, you know, try to address it and try to guide the implementation such that we can try to mitigate against that that potential concern, I think that's probably the way to go. So I don't want to you know, be the bearer of bad news, but I do sort of feel like that ship has sailed, and I don't think there would be a lot of support for knocking out the budget power at this point. I think it's our best hope is really just to try to tailor it in a way that can try to address the concerns that we have. Ed, your hand is up. Please go ahead.
Thanks, Robin. We don't have Tatiana's contribution, but I want to make sure that in our response to recommendation number three, as long as folks agree, that we say that we support the inspection right, particularly that is detailed in the Sidley Adler memo of December 10th. That's a little bit of a blowback against what the board's trying to do with inspection.
Right.
Sidley Adler, it was a great memo. It's created a plan for inspection that could be used at the lowest level, where as an SO or as an SG, we could start the process without having to go through the community mechanism. Then if it's rejected by ICANN staff or board, we don't get the information, then we use the community mechanism. So I think it's workable. It's a good proposal. And the board ignored the memo completely in what they came up with an inspection. So I think it's important that we state we do support inspection in this particular form of it.
That's a good point. Yeah, so I don't know what happened to that text, and because it wasn't there last week, but we'll get it back. I'm sure it's floating around somewhere, and we'll be sure to get those points added in there as well. Okay. So did anyone else have any other thoughts on these responses? So it sounds like we're going to have, was it Friday or Monday? What's going to work for folks better to get the any comments in on the draft on this? Presumably our policy committee has been participating in this process in the sense of, you know, we've had meetings every month and the last couple of weeks, and, you know, the draft's been out there, and so hopefully they won't be shocked by what we're working on. Hopefully they are paying attention to the process here. And so it won't be
stalled in the policy committee, as can happen sometimes with drafts. Okay, did anyone else have any thoughts on the responses? Okay, so let's talk about very briefly. Oh, I see hands are up. Ed, is that a new hand?
Sorry, old.
Okay, no worries. Stephanie, I think that's a new hand.
Yes, and it's Stephanie Perrin for the record. My apologies if you've already discussed this. I was late. I see that Becky Burr has done a side-by-side comparison of the board's language and the former language. Did we talk about this?
Are you with respect to the mission? Well, we did talk about we did talk about that to some extent about what we're opposed. We're opposed to the board's recommendation and how if their suggestion were to be implemented, then that would be enough for us to say, okay, well, then we don't support that particular recommendation anymore, because right now we do support the recommendation, because the recommendation includes the compromise language that the group came to after, you know, long negotiations with a lot of help from David Post and from Milton and Becky Burr and Malcolm. And so if we're going to move to the board's language and away from our group's language, then that would be a reason to oppose that recommendation. But at this point, we need to shore up our support for that language, state our opposition to the board's attempt to weaken that language. So to that extent, we did sort of mention that. Was there anything else you wanted to talk about on that, or some things you wanted to say about that?
Well, I'm just trying, in the event that the GNSO meeting tomorrow turns into a substantive discussion of this, and as I say, James said he figured it was going to take the whole of the meeting, so that sounds substantive to me. I'm wondering exactly what I want to say on this, you know?
Yes, well, I think that's exactly what...
Yeah, they're like trump cards, you know?
I think
in there in the final language.
Yes. The board isn't the only one with red lines here. The community can have some red lines too, and I think that the GNSO in particular, that this would be an issue. You know, all the people that I just mentioned who are negotiating this issue, these were people in the GNSO. This is a GNSO issue to a large extent, making sure that limited mission language is right. So I would hope that on the call tomorrow there are concerns from other parts of the GNSO about the board's attempt to try to weaken that language. And I would say this would be sort of a red line issue for us. It's not listed up here on the agenda today as one, because as the recommendation is currently drafted, we like it. We're fine with it. It is the board's change that would be a no-go for us, if that's helpful for how you talk to these guys tomorrow. So I think that, in terms of talking about what are sort of NCSG's red line issues, what are the major concerns that we have, they're with recommendations 1 and 10 and 11. And 1 and 11 are about over-empowering GAC and changing the roles of the advisory committee, giving them decision-making roles, marginalizing the role that the supporting organizations have. You can see the response that is drafted there on recommendation 1, and then together with the language on stress test 18, which is recommendation 11. Those two are big issues for us, and so I would say we would vote no on those two recommendations as currently drafted. And then also number 10 there,
which is the one on accountability of supporting organizations, and the board really trying to sort of claw back the ways in which the supporting organizations can be managed. And it's worth pointing out that the GAC is exempt from all of those reviews and accountability improvements. And so, again, here we are giving GAC a lot of power, but where's the accountability that they're supposed to be held to? It doesn't exist. So for those reasons, I would say recommendations 1, 10, and 11 are the real red lines for us. And then if the board got its way on the limited mission or expanding the mission language, that would be a very big concern. If the board got its way on limiting transparency, limiting workstream 2 items, again, there are things that could very easily move into that deal breaker bucket. Should the fragile negotiated draft be thrown out in favor of the board's view on some of these things? Ed, is that a new hand?
New hand, Robin. Are we here into the GNSO Council part of the agenda at this point?
We sure are.
Okay. We don't know how it's going to play out exactly tomorrow. We do know that there will be an extraordinary meeting called the Council sometime in early January to deal with the specifics and take actual votes. But my thoughts in terms of how it is tomorrow, and I just want to throw this out here to get some feedback, would be to initially start off by expressing our dismay at the truncated public comment period,
yeah,
and how that doesn't help anybody. Then go into our opposition to 1, 10, and 11, wrapping 1 and 11 together, as you've stated. Once done with that, then send a message that we have deep concerns, given the past history of the CCWG, that the board comments may be given a little bit special attention. That if the proposal changes to incorporate those comments, the support of the NCSG and the non-commercial community for many other recommendations, and indeed perhaps the entire package, would be in question. So I want to see what folks would think about that perspective in the council meeting. I want to send Thomas a message. And unless we take that line to the point where he has to go back to Matthew and Leon and say, look, if we do what the board wants, we may lose to non-commercials, we may lose to GNSO, we need to give him something to go back with. So those are my thoughts. I'd love to hear some feedback.
I think that's absolutely right, Ed. I think that's a really good approach, to take. Anyone else want to weigh in on this? Any other thoughts? Any of our other counselors want to speak up on this, since you're the ones who will be going into the meeting tomorrow and have to do the heavy lifting?
Robin, this is Amr.
Yes.
Just to express agreement with Ed's suggestion. I think that's a very solid suggestion, and it would give Thomas something to take away from the meeting and gives us sort of an objective to work towards. And Ed, it would be great if you would lead the NCSG's discussion of this topic on the first call. Thanks.
Thank you. Anyone else want to weigh in on this approach or the council discussion tomorrow, next steps, anything at all? Looks like we've been going pretty steadily now for an hour and a half, and we've made our way through our agenda, so we might actually be done for the day. Anyone else want to weigh in on this stuff?
Okay. Well, again, please put your thoughts down on into the Google Docs, into the mailing lists. You've got until the weekend for that, and then this is going to have to be submitted to ICANN on the 21st. So thank you all. Brett's got his hand up. Okay, yes, Brett, please, go ahead.
Just very quickly, there are some people that have been leading the drafting or editing or compilation of the responses to various recommendations that aren't on this call. You might want to send an email out to everybody who's been leading those responses to let them know of the timeline and the expectations over
yes.
the next few days.
Thank you. Thank you very much for that reminder. Good idea. I will do that right after we get off this call. Okay. Anyone else? I guess not. All right. Thank you all. I really appreciate your participation and all the help with the drafting and the editing. And see you all online shortly. Thanks so much. Bye-bye.
Thank you very much for attending the meeting. Marta, you may now stop the recording, please. Thank you.